Dr. Sadlick?
Hi, Gail.
Hi, Dr. Sadlick. Would you like me to take a walk?
Yes, please.
Dr. Sadlick?
Here.
Dr. Popio?
Here.
Ms. Tibbetts? Ms. Gallen?
Here.
Dr. Campbell?
Here.
Dr. Spatt?
Yeah.
Dr. Rubin?
You bet.
Ms. Tibbetts, are you with us? Yes? Okay.
Yes?
I can hear you now. Yes, thank you.
Okay, so we've got form and we're back. Let's go ahead and move on. We're still in number five. Would be case number 22-221. And this is Dr. Smith. Interview we have with them. Gail, could you give us an overview?
Yes. Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, the State of Arizona Naturopathic Physicians Medical Board received a complaint from patient BD, who alleges respondent published via online patient forum a series of articles promoting drinking MMS chlorine dioxide. After expressing concerns, BD was removed from the platform.
Smith, are you on the phone?
I am.
Okay. And I think one of the board members or the board asked you to submit soap notes on the patients because most of your work is done by telemedicine, correct?
Correct, yes. We had kind of, it was, what I was under the impression of was the original complaint was not what the board wanted to concern themselves with. It was with the quality of my notes.
Correct.
And I do all telemedicine, yes. I am all virtual practice, yes.
Okay. And does the patient have, do they sign any document that states that they are aware that they will need to establish care with a physician, that you're just basically a coach?
At this time, no.
Is that something you could implement?
Absolutely, not a problem.
Okay. And then, I guess, Ms. Anthony, received a check from you for, your fees for certificates to dispense?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I hope so. I didn't get the the receipt that said you guys got it, yes. So I'm hoping you got it, yes.
This is Gail Anthony. Yes, I did just get that check.
Awesome.
And how many years was that expired for?
2020,
2021,
and 2022.
Did you get all your fees for all 3 years then?
Yes.
Okay. Let me go ahead and move this into discussion then. Dr. Rubin, can I start down with you there?
No, why would you do that? This is Dr. Rubin.
Yeah,
okay. Give me a sec. I'm here.
Okay.
Hi, Dr. Smith.
Hello.
Give me a sec. I'm trying to pull up. I'm trying to look for those two certificates with CMEs, and for some reason I'm not finding them. I think they're in update. Here they are. Sorry. Give me a second here. Okay. So, Dr. Smith, the charting for physicians that you took through the AZNMA subjective and objective assessment and plan. Could you go over the assessment part? And I'll tell you why I'm asking. I don't see any assessment. I don't see any diagnosis. I don't see any code. I don't see where you summarize the case. All I see is that, you know, to me, these look really just stamped out. So I have an issue with the quality of this work. And so if you could download first a little bit about what you learned and how you're going about your, I mean, you're acting as a physician, you established that with the salary, and which means that you're taking in a chief complaint, and you're, as a physician, creating a treatment plan, but you're not diagnosing. And you can't treat unless you establish diagnosis. You can't establish diagnosis unless you intake the history. And so if you could talk about that, and then also if you could talk about like the consent forms and like your intake processes too, because I still think there's deficiency here, and let us know, because I'm guessing some of the other doctors feel the same way.
So I was, So I was trying to, went through, I was under the impression for a good long while. I remember before telemedicine was becoming a big thing, and I remember learning about this years ago, and it may not be legit anymore because telemedicine's become such a big thing, was that if we didn't establish a face-to-face relationship, then it wasn't a doctor-patient relationship, and I had been operating on that for a good long while. So in terms of diagnosing people over telemedicine, I'd been going by the diagnoses that previous physicians had given them, and then doing my own, you know, assessment via, you know, question and answer with me on them on the phone, or I mean on Zoom or whatever, and then doing, you know, I have a pretty significant intake, which I did beef up more after our conversation. And so I had been reticent, hesitant, if you will, or I hadn't been doing it, I could just say, in giving them a strict diagnosis, because I'm mostly dealing with, I am dealing in nutrition. So if this is deemed that I need to give, because I don't deal with insurance at all, I don't do any of that. If it's deemed that I need to start incorporating that into my assessment, I am happy to do it. But what am I treating? I'm treating, you know, excesses and deficiencies. So that tends to be how I've been labeling people, if you will, as a diagnosis of these deficiencies and excesses. So that's what I have.
Dr. Rubin, further questions for him?
I mean, I'm sorry, let me just add one more thing. I mean, if I need to take the patient saying that they, you know, are fatigued and then giving them a diagnosis code for fatigue, I can do that. That's not an issue. That's fine. I will do that if that's deemed what I'm deficient in.
Well, for instance, in one of your patients in the iron, who ordered the blood test, by the way?
I do.
Okay. I mean, that's kind of a doctor thing, having a license to order it, like a...
Correct.
Blood test. So then the ferritin was 201 with a normal of 30 to 70.
I'll let you finish. I'm sorry.
Were you going to say that's the optimal?
I was going to say that's the optimal that I'm shooting for in people. Yes, correct.
Yeah. What is the established reference range from the reference laboratory on that ferritin?
I believe it is 30 to 400.
And you said the impression was significant iron overload, and the changes were can donate blood three times before next blood test if willing and able. I mean, that to me sounds a lot different than nutritional advice diagnosing somebody with a very normal, you know, half normal or not even half ferritin. I don't know what the serum iron was. I don't know what the stat, what, you know, saturation was or the iron binding concentration. I don't know if they, you know, what the hemoglobin looked like or the mean corpuscular volume or the hematocrit. I mean, nothing's there. And so I don't know. And then the copper high 99. I don't know if this was this is copper zinc section. I don't know if this is serum copper, if this is plasma copper. I don't know if this is red blood cell copper. I don't know if you're doing a ceruloplasmin to establish it. I don't know if this is trans. I mean, you don't really talk about it and you don't compare. And so, and then there's no, I don't know. So I just think that.
It is.
I understand where you're coming from, and I appreciate that explanation. And I will absolutely let you answer to that. And then, Dr. Sadelek, I'm done and ready for the next board member. Thank you, Dr. Smith.
Thank you.
Okay, was I supposed to talk now?
No, go ahead. That's fine.
Okay. So in my clinical experience, as an example, on the ferritin, when I've gotten people ferritin down around, I'm going to say around 100, I often see drastic improvements in often multiple symptoms. And being as it is that lab reference ranges are based on, you know, 95% of the population test results and not necessarily being based on anything health related. So they just do the top 2.5% and bottom 2.5% as abnormal. This is the definition of normal ranges. I think at a naturopathic In the naturopathic world, we could agree that 95% of the people out there would probably not be deemed healthy. And so the fact that the reference ranges labs are not based on anything related to health, they're simply based on statistics. I'm in pursuit of helping people reach a greater state of health. And so based on things I have learned, observations I have made, I have come up with my own quote unquote optimal ranges. And I am putting those there so my clients, patients know what we are aiming for. Copper excess is something I treat all the time. In my ranges. And I've had very good results with it. So it's mainly me going by what I have seen and what I'm shooting for. So yes, to give somebody a diagnosis of, let's say, copper toxicity when they are well within the lab reference range, I can't do that, because they're not outside of, they're outside of my range, but they're not outside of the lab reference range. But I'm not, you know, I'm shooting for a higher level of care than just simply saying people are in the normal ranges or not. So that's what I've got to say on that. It is a serum copper, by the way. I can add that to the notes if I need. If I need to detail more in the notes, I could put the normal range and I could put my optimal range if that would be more pleasing. I think that's what I have.
Dr. Rubin, can I move up to Dr. Spatz?
Oh yeah, I'm done. Thank you.
Dr. Smith, I'm just curious. So when you do telemedicine, because I don't do telemedicine, so if you could educate me on it. So when you see a patient on telemedicine, how do you, I noticed that you say is according to the patient and vital signs, it was everything, vital signs, everything is patient's report, but how much can you trust the patient regarding to this?
I can trust the patient as much as I could trust the patient's answers about anything else in their health history. I don't know how we could do our jobs if we didn't trust what the patient said. And in terms of, usually when people are coming to me, they're coming to me. They know what they're coming. I mean, they're coming to me. I am, quote unquote, the nutrition detective. They are coming to me for nutrition stuff. If they have if they have vital signs that are off, I'm telemedicine. I'm not an emergency doctor in the first place, and I'm definitely not right there with them to validate it. I mean, I was on some of the CMEs I was taking. They were, you know, the videos that I'm seeing, they're on not the one from the naturopathic board, but on the other one that I volunteered to take in addition to what you guys said assign me. They were having, you know, patients were self-reporting the numbers. I don't know how else I would get them. I mean, I'm not going to have somebody who I'm watching on a phone camera, like, take their blood pressure. I don't know how aggressively I'm supposed to enforce self-reported blood pressure numbers or heart rate numbers when I'm doing telemedicine in the first place.
I got you. Well, I just want to know how you were able to obtain those and how much.
I would rely on that. That is something I asked them for that. I did. I request them to do that within the last month. I asked them for one of those numbers within the last month, just so they can practically get it.
Okay.
Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
Okay, no, that's fine. And then next question would be, I noticed that you do a lot of blood tests on copper and zinc. What is your optimal zinc and copper, and could you explain why that is the standard?
So I have studied William Walsh's work. He is kind of one of the leaders in the copper toxicity and how it relates to, he specifically focuses on mental conditions. So I used some of his work to get my copper range. I have actually seen better results when I work for people to go a bit lower than what his recommendations were. So yeah, the 75 to 90, that has been trimmed over time down into the range that I have seen the best clinical results for. And the zinc, I believe that is directly from Dr. Walsh's work. So I have kept that range. So that is the plasma zinc. As everything I've researched and learned about it, is that plasma zinc is a more useful measure of zinc on a day-to-day basis. I do things like having people stop any and all zinc supplements 2 days before they take the test, so that we don't get a false elevation. And then I also look at the hair mineral analysis to compare the numbers on the two things.
I'm sorry, Dr. Smith, could you just go back a little bit? So what is your optimal range for the zinc, copper, and ferritin? Well, what is your range?
Ferritin, I want... Okay, it's on the notes I submitted, but I'll just give them to you. It's 30 to 70 on ferritin, serum ferritin. It is 75 to 90 on serum copper, and it is 100 to 135 on plasma zinc.
Okay, so regarding to nowadays, especially, I noticed that a few physicians, they really keen into zinc and copper. Regarding for anti-aging, are you doing anti-aging? I just want to understand what type of nutrition detective you are doing for copper.
People come to me with chronic conditions, and I am often getting the people who have been either turned away or failed by multiple other practitioners in the past. Even other naturopathic physicians, I'm the last guy often that they come to. They want to do this. Either they've tried the conventional, I mean, you guys all know the story. They've tried conventional, maybe they've tried alternative two, and now they're here with me. So a lot of people really like that I'm the one who doesn't tell them that they're having an incorrect reaction to taking a supplement that makes them not feel good when supposedly it should make them feel better. I'm dealing in minerals a lot. I'm dealing in, you know, diets that are kind of, you know, out of the normal stuff.
Okay.
But
so I'm just curious. So what
I'm teaching people.
So
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Thank you. But I'm just curious. So what's your success rate?
I've always wondered, how does anybody ever measure that?
Let's say you see 10 patients. Would 9 of them be better?
Well, it would be difficult. I mean, do I expect that of myself in terms of their treatment?
No. Yeah. Wouldn't the patient respond to you and tell you if they get better or not?
Yeah, I go over testimonials every week in my live stream, and I cover it. What I'm doing, the thing that I do that is different from a lot of stuff out there is we are, when I talk to people, I'm talking about long-term. I'm talking about 2 years, 3 years of work to unload the toxicity that's in their tissues. I don't believe these things are done quickly. So in terms of improvements, I'm telling people it's a marathon, not a sprint. And we're doing this for the long-term. And so there may be small, I don't treat specific symptoms right away. I treat kind of with the testing, I treat individually, if you will, but then I also have the general approaches that people are doing that are kind of the slow improvement type stuff where people have lifetime things go away and stay away, and they don't have to stay on a certain supplement to keep it away.
Thank you. So since you mentioned that you mainly do the treating patients, so one of the statement treating may mean that you feel as a physician yourself, not as a detective, but say as a physician or a detective as well. But I know on your website you say you're an nutritional detective, but if you order all this blood test and making all this diagnosis and plan on other plan of action for your patient, then you should be consider yourself as a physician instead of a nutritional counseling.
The nutrition detective thing is just a marketing. It's just like the name of my business. I'm not saying I'm an attorney or something. It's just a term that I'm. It's just the name of my business. It's marketing.
I got you. I'm just curious because I know the last time when you were here, you keep on mentioning that you're just a nutritionist coaching, but if you order all this blood test and you do all this diagnosis, then you definitely fall under the physician category as a naturopath. I just want to make that statement out there. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Spence. Let me move up to Ms. Dr. Campbell.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep, got you.
Very good. So, sir, when I know you had stated that most of, oftentimes patients will come to you as after they had been to other physicians. Is there ever a time when somebody comes to you and for their nutrition and as a result of your findings in the blood test that you get, that you discover anything significant and need to, advise them to seek outside care? Does that ever happen?
I mean, if I saw something, yes. I mean, I've had a patient with a ferritin of 900, and she's been through the ringer with all the other doctors, and she can hardly even do blood draws for lab work, much less phlebotomies. Mm-hmm. If there was something that popped up in the work I'm doing is, like I said, I'm mostly the tests that I'm doing are looking at mostly minerals or nearly all minerals. So it would be
In regard to that female patient that you talked about, what were your concerns with the ferritin 900? Like, in other words, what were you thinking could be a possible diagnosis?
she had previously almost died of encephalitis before she came to me. She sent me a diagnosis, actual diagnoses from physicians that was, I think, on a normal piece of paper, single spaced, it was five sentences long of diagnosis codes. I could have referred her elsewhere, but she wasn't interested in that. That's the clientele I get are generally, if I can say this, they're generally quite jaded, with much of the medical community. And so, if I saw somebody with that, I could say you should go do phlebotomies, and she'd say, well, I'll pass out. We can try to do the normal things. And this woman was down to eat. She could only eat, like, I get people who come to me and they can only eat four foods oftentimes. And they're just, I don't know how to express that I get the most sensitive people because I've earned a reputation of deeply listening to these people. And if they say something doesn't work for them, I don't continue to have them try to do it. Let me just finish this real quick. If I see somebody who is in their area, if they need to see a physician, I never inhibit that. I never discourage them from that. I'm always happy for them to go see somebody in their area. And if I see something I think they need to go talk to somebody about, they do. A lot of my people are coming to me already seeing other physicians, and they're seeing me on top of that, or in addition to, because they don't want to be on hormones, or they don't want to be on blood pressure meds, or they don't want to be on these things. Just like everybody else here, we have people who are trying to get off of that stuff, and that now. So they're usually under the care of somebody else if they're on a medication, right?
Right. Well, let me ask you this. With regard to that lady with the high ferritin, if she didn't want to go anywhere else, would you urge her to have any other testing by you so that you could pursue the matter further other than the appropriate course of pursuing phlebotomies, therapeutic phlebotomies?
I think she sent me about 40 pages of lab results from other doctors. I don't know what else I could have ordered that she hadn't already done.
What about considering a DNA, a specific DNA test for hemochromatosis?
So the question would be, as I was taught in naturopathic medical school, is if the results of a test are not going to change your course of treatment, regardless of what the answer to the test is, don't run the test. This is what I was taught in naturopathic medical school.
We'll go ahead and leave it at that. I mean, I think that there are a lot of things that it would also change the course of treatment in a lot of different ways, specific to your individual patient and whether, and if she's not able to tolerate extensive therapeutic phlebotomies, then we've got chelation therapy as an option. And there's all different range, in referring her, doing our due diligence, and referring her to a gastro or a hematologist who might have considerations, reference her liver and whether or not she needs a needle liver biopsy and all the different things that would come out of that and new diagnoses and maybe hitting off some type of cancer or cirrhosis of the liver, et cetera. But we'll go ahead and leave it at that. Mr. Chairman, I don't have any other questions.
Thank you, Dr. Campbell. Ms. Gallen?
I have nothing at this time.
Okay. Ms. Tibbetts?
No questions.
Dr. Popiel?
Yeah, I got a couple of things. Dr. Smith, just in continuation of the conversation just had with Dr. Campbell, for example, on the elevated ferritin, high levels of alcohol intake can also cause that. And obviously that patient reported as well, but I've seen many of patients who are quote unquote one drink a day at most, and then it turns out their ferritin is through the roof and it turns out they're actually alcoholic. So I appreciate what you said about, hey, if it's not going to change the treatment, but I do feel like you're kind of dabbling on the verge of practicing medicine, but then not quite necessarily taking it that next step sometimes. I mean, this is obviously a specific incident, but I think your clarity on iron overload needs to be furthered. I know you already mentioned that with the conversation with Dr. Rubin, but I don't think you're doing patients a service potentially if you convince them that they have iron overload with normal iron and ferritin studies. I understand you're looking for optimal, but just, I think, further educating them about this is my preferred level versus you actually don't have iron overload, I'm looking for just optimal levels. One other thing on your chart.
I would be...
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say I would be happy to put normal range and optimal range on the stuff that the patients get from me, the information that they get back from me about their lab results. Yes, I would be happy to do that.
I think it just further helps the patient understand, because if Dr. X is looking at your lab values and like, okay, this naturopath, he diagnosed you with iron overload, but clearly he has no clue what he's talking about. It just doesn't bode well for the patient to be put in the middle of you and that other physician, and it doesn't bode well for, quote unquote, the naturopathic profession as far as our information and our legitimacy, if you will. One other thing on the chart notes, for me, I may be wrong, but I always put my lab values and objective findings. Assessment is, as Dr. Rubin said, for ICD-10 codes and actual assessments, not where I would put any of my lab values typically. Those are my main concerns. Is I feel like you're doing a better, you're doing a decent job with the chart notes, but there are some pieces that are not put in the right place. And certainly, you know, you're one of, unfortunately, many of the naturopathic colleagues who for some reason don't feel like ICD-10 codes are appropriate to use, and we just feel continuous fatigue or lumbalgia or whatever. You know, it's unfortunate that for whatever reason, the naturopathic community doesn't use ICD-10 codes typically. So I don't have any other further questions at this point, Dr. Sattler.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. This is Keith back to visit with us today. He was here last month. Does anyone want to draw any conclusion? He's done the CME. I would highly suggest you might want to consider simply having a form so the patients understand that he is acting as a physician. He's acting slash moment. They want
Dr. Sadler, we can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. You're faded, and there was a whooshing sound, but that whooshing sound is going away.
Okay. The headset was getting cranky. So what I'm trying to direct is he's been here. He's back here again. He did the CMEs. Where we seem to have the problem is physician versus coach consultant. And he, I would suggest, and the board members can decide this, that perhaps he needs to have a form stating I'm acting as a consultant or a coach, however he wants to phrase it, so that the patient understands that this is not going to be in lieu of a actual doctor, you know, visit, physical exam, et cetera. He is ordering lab. So somehow we need to come up with closure for this case. Suggestions from the physician board members or the public.
This is Dr. Rubin. I think that's a marvelous suggestion, and I think we should leave it to Dr. Smith to develop one that, you know, aligns with that, you know, patient sign and demonstrate that he has put that into action with a patient signature, which could obviously be anonymized. But along with that, quite honestly, I think we need to see you're either a doctor or you're not. And if you're a doctor and you're ordering lab tests and you're making a diagnosis, although you're acting as a consultant physician, you're developing a treatment plan based on a diagnosis, based on a history, based on information you took. So I think that needs, whatever form is developed, needs to come back to us along with at least one full chart of somebody that, you know, has had more than two visits, something like that, because I don't get, it just doesn't seem like medical because we're not seeing the whole thing. And I don't know what these treatment plans are. And, you know, each treatment plan seems to just be almost the same thing, but unless there's something living in the background, which I'm assuming there is.
I mean, I'm using a template, in, if you will, to fill in with the information that I gain from the patient and that I, you know, that they give me and that I gain from the patient. And then I add in, you know, the lab results. I can, if you would rather, you know, I change my assessment and I put in diagnoses there and I do it that way. I mean, I'm happy to do that if that satisfies what you're looking for. My clients tend to come back once every 6 months. So to have a history of notes in the style that you're hoping for the future, I don't have that yet because I just started that based on the last. My clients don't follow up in terms of specific follow-ups on another last set of labs for six months. So I can have follow-up notes when I have some of these people doing their follow-up visits with me.
This is Dr. Rubin. I do have some questions. So, for instance, your patient, DC, seen August 29th, the chief complaints were chronic sinus infections, constipation, and copper overload. Obviously, somebody else diagnosed them with copper overload.
They gave me that information, yes. They told me that.
And then you confirmed that.
No. I didn't pull up that chart in front of me, but if that's what the labs say, if that's what I put on the lab, yeah. I can pull that up if I need it.
Well, the copper was 99 on a scale of 75 to 90, but we all know that serum copper is transient. RBC copper is not transient as serum and plasma copper are, or a better overall assessment of copper storage would be ceruloplasma. Because, you know, that's like a ferritin. So I was assuming you were doing all those, but then, then the hair test analysis you did, they had high calcium, low magnesium, high copper, low zinc, high chromium, low selenium, high arsenic, high mercury, aluminum, and vanadium. And then the treatment plan was to read all the information in the Love Your Liver course material and then basically to use topical magnesium, salt, food. And there was an article to read. And then potassium, very important, must be experimented with. You're asking your patients to experiment on those potassium articles. Please watch and read. I don't know if you're giving them potassium in those articles. I didn't read those. And then
I'm discussing food sources and supplement sources for them to check out for themselves. Yes.
And then you're giving them zinc 15 milligrams between 1 to 5 pills a day. 15 to 75 milligrams per day. This dose must be reassessed and adjusted within a 6-month period. And then zinc dose can be further adjusted once copper and zinc blood tests are obtained. And then selenium, 1 to 2 pills a day. And then eat 3 to 5 Brazil nuts per day. And then take Biotics Emozyme or molybdenum, 150 micrograms per day. And then nutrition detective lactoferrin. Work up slowly towards 1 pill per day. So I'm guessing maybe they, and then you didn't sign the chart. And then I didn't see, I mean, it doesn't say if you're going to retest them, if you're going to visit with them again, or if they just take this in perpetuity. I mean, it's not a full plan. It's not.
No.
Then, you see where we're coming from? It's like, so if I picked up this chart, I'd have no idea, you know. Now, I'm assuming inside your chart you have all the lab values, you have all that down there, which is fine. I mean, that doesn't have to be written into your chart note. And then we would have that and all the records. And so I think that's the problem that the physicians on this board are having is it seems like that you're giving topical magnesium, read the salt articles, read the potassium articles, take lactoferrin, take zinc, and that you're saying you're getting all these, you know, patients that are on their last leg and fed up everywhere, and you're just giving them a few simple minerals that we all use in our practice every day anyhow, and you're not even doing full scope, you know, workups on them, but yet saying that, you know, you're having these results that are amazing in, you know, we're talking about stacks, and you're seeing that, you know, the worst of the worst and incredibly expensive. So I guess that's where the gap is. And then what are you doing with them? And how do we not see that? I mean, I give zinc and I give, you know, diet advice and I give selenium. And I mean, I see really sick patients too. And so that's what I guess to me, there's a giant gap. And that we're not seeing that in your plan or your assessment or your, you know, it's not required to have an assessment narrative. Most doctors will just, you know, state the diagnosis and move on. I think the people who work harder and better will assess the case with a narrative. So there's a couple paragraphs of what went on during that discussion and what your clinical thinking is. So you, you know, can remind you, you've not seen these people for 6 months and you got a lot of patients. So I'm assuming you need to remind yourself of something. Unless you truly are just kind of stamping out stuff and using the same thing for everybody based on, I mean, you're only doing a handful of tests. So that's, I just don't understand where you're clinically. So for me, that's why I think board members that for me, it would be useful to make sure that Dr. Smith is upholding the standards of naturopathic medicine by really digging in. I know it's more work for me. It's more work for everybody to, you know, go through and read all this stuff and for Gail to have to collate it. So, but I'm citing on bringing him back and, you know, not necessarily, I don't know how to phrase it. I'm not great at this part, but, you know, I want to see more so I can more fully evaluate. So I don't know if that's a continuance with, you know, asking staff to procure more info from Dr. Smith. But for me, I need to see that. I don't know, Dr. Procure, what do you think?
No, I think that's fair. I think my only, I think our struggle is, I believe the only way we can require to see follow-up stuff is a disciplinary, or I guess I don't know how long we can just postpone and reconvene the case down the road. But yeah, I think it's very worthwhile to see some follow-up. I don't know how we get there though, whether it's just postponing again, or because I don't think we need to go to disciplinary action, but I wouldn't mind seeing some follow-up as well.
So we will need then to craft some type of motion, and we have to see if that will work with Mr. Larson and Ms. Anthony the way we craft it.
Yeah, so, I apologize. Mr. Chair, members, this is Justin. As I was trying to follow that last part of the conversation, it sounds like the board wants to review additional information on this. Is that correct? Like, is there something that you would like to request from Dr. Smith that you'd like to review, you know, at a later meeting before coming to a final resolution of the case? Is that how, am I correct in that understanding?
Dr. Rubin, is that kind of the direction you're thinking?
I have to mute myself for a second. I apologize. This is Dr. Rubin. I apologize.
So,
go ahead.
You go ahead.
No, Mr. Larson, could you please restate that?
Yeah, so I just want to make sure I understand correctly. It sounds like from that last the last discussion with points with Dr. Rubin and Dr. Popiel that there's the board, that you're leaning towards, you would like to review additional information from Dr. Smith of some type. I think the two things I kind of took down were, one, like some sort of form, and then also like an additional chart note, and you'd want to review that before, or allow Dr. Smith to provide that and then have the board review it at a later meeting before coming to a final resolution. Is that sort of correct? Or
this is Dr. That's the gist of what I was saying, and I could provide specifics as well.
Yeah, so if that's the case, then I would recommend making a motion to continue the investigation to allow to continue the investigation and for a later meeting, and in the meantime to allow, you know, within a whatever period of time you would like, Dr. Smith to provide to Gail X and Y, whatever you would like him to provide, and then, you know, the board can take that up at a later meeting, as it's done here. Does that make sense?
This is Dr. Rubin. So moved with these specifics added. Two complete charts with patients who have had more than two visits with Dr. Smith. So at least three. And in whatever time period Dr. Smith, you know, chooses, so we can demonstrate, so we can, you know, look at progress, you know, what he's doing. Understanding that depending on the time that we're asking, that diagnosis codes may not be included because, you know, this is when we're, you know, sort of his charting has just changed. So we just want to see so two full charts for patients that have had three or at least three visits. And I am also adding Dr. Sadalek's suggestion, some form, paragraph, small narrative, whatever Dr. Smith chooses to show us, to demonstrate, so he alerts his patients in what manner he's acting, so they're not confused whether or not he's their overall physician that they sign. And to be brought back to this board at whatever meeting, to me, it doesn't matter which meeting it is. That is up to board staff and when that can be done and when they can harness that information and when it's convenient and based on scheduling. But preferably within 3 months' time.
Okay, and this is Justin again, and I would just, you might want to ask Dr. Smith if he understood all of that, and we'll be able to provide all of that before, you know, we go further with the motion.
I'm to ask him that, or that Ms. Gale is supposed to ask him
that? Whatever board member or somebody is.
Can I ask interject? If I'm doing my main consultations with these people every 4 to 6 months, how can I produce two charts with three visits each in a 3 month period?
This is Dr.
Rubin. I'm not you.
I'm glad that Mr. Larson asked to see if you understood. No, the motion was that this information would be given to us and we would have it brought to the board and we would meet with you, or hear this case again within a 3 month time period, preferably. However, the charts could be of your choosing from patients in the past from, you know, that have had at least three visits with you, not from here forward.
Wait, so I just want to make sure you're asking for a past chart.
How long have you been in practice?
I started 2006.
Yeah, right. So you've had patients that you've seen over, I mean, if it's, you know, if the cadence is basically 6 months, you're putting them on these programs for 6 months. And then, so you would have patients that have been with you at least 18 months. That's what I'm asking for. So it doesn't matter the time. We're looking at what type of information you're collecting on them, how you're coming to these treatment plans. We're just trying to assess standards of naturopathic medicine.
Well, I can tell you right now, you're going to see what you all deemed was deficient charting, from the past because I just started changing it. And you're going to see a very similar approach to what you've already, you're going to see, I do tweak it. And a lot of my work is actually in the dietary realm, which is why I have a whole private forum where I give people lots of information on dietary stuff. The dietary stuff is the very much law. I have people who don't work directly with me and they just do it themselves with the diet stuff and they decide on other things, you know, what they're going to do, but they're getting basic, you know, just like if somebody bought a diet book, there's a do it yourself part of it where they can just enter the forum and read the articles there, some of which are linked in the treatment plan you've seen. And then,
well,
I mean, if you want to see, my path. Sorry, go ahead.
We're just looking to see what type of information you're collecting to establish your treatment plan. Is what we're looking to see. And you're assessing them, you're redoing labs, you're meeting with them every 6 months or every 3 months. In the case that I have DDC, you said every 3 to 6 months. And so we understand that your charting may not be there. We're looking at what a full chart. We don't know what a full chart of yours looks like. We don't know if it's complete, if it has consent forms. We don't know if it has historical forms or anything. These are just people that you're saying, I'm Dr. Smith, I'm a doctor, and take my advice, but you're not collecting data. I want to see that, because that's not what we asked to bring to us today, and now we're asking that.
So, Dr. Rubin, just clarify just a little bit, would you be pleased with the motion to have him come back in 30 days or 60 days? 60 days is fine. I'm sure Dr. Smith has patients that he'll be interacting with during that 30 to 60 day time span, and to bring the, and then to submit the complete patient intake evaluation. And now he's going to get a form that states that he's a coach, or however he phrases it. Would that type of motion work?
I'm going to restate my motion since it has not been seconded. And that, I'm sorry, I'm going to amend my motion since it hasn't been seconded. And what I would like board staff to collect on Dr. Smith is two complete intakes, everything that goes into having a patient be a formalized patient from the start to the finish of that visit, meaning the start of when they decide they want to be a patient, how information is collected, to when they get their treatment plan. And we would like to see two of those. And we would like to see those at our next board meeting, along with the form that I asked for. And that is my motion.
In the form that you asked for, is that stating for patient awareness that he is a health coach, he's not doing primary care medicine?
No, he's a physician, he's not a health coach. And so, you know, we want him to state, he said that he is a physician consultant, which I think is going to, I'm guessing that's the term he's going to choose. And explaining that, because that's
okay.
there's that's customary.
Okay. Dr. Smith, before we throw a motion out here, does that make sense to you? I'm trying to wrap this up.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Dr. Rubin, throw that motion out one last time, so we can start getting this rolling, please.
This is Dr. Rubin. The reason that I said so moved after Mr. Larson spoke is because some of the terminology had been used. But in my motion restated is that I would like to continue our discussions or investigation with Dr. Smith and have board staff, in accordance with everything we found thus far, and instruct board staff to collect for our next board meeting next month, two complete charts from the time that the patient inquires about being a patient to help, so we can see that process of what data he collects, through to a completed chart note. And these would be obviously patients under these new implications of how he's doing his charter. That's my motion. I don't know how to do it any better.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Smith. Let me make sure the executive director has that written down.
Yes, I do. Thank you, Dr. Sadler.
All right. Does anyone have any further discussion, or can we get a vote on this, please? So we got first, we got a second, and then I guess we'll do roll call.
Okay. Dr. Sadler?
Aye.
Dr. Popeo?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you, Dr. Smith. Let's go ahead and move on to 5D as in dog. This is case number 22-225. And this is with an unregulated individual, Sarah Martin. It looks like it's a continuation of initial interview. So I'll have Ms. Anthony give us an overview of this.
And Dr. Sablik, members of the board, at the last meeting, the board reviewed this, and we were given Ms. Martin some time to scrub the internet, get rid of the designation naturopath. And just prior to this meeting, I went ahead and did another internet search as a whole and came up with some areas where naturopath is still on the internet. I informed Ms. Martin just this morning. She sent in a couple of screenshots, and I forwarded those to you. But it appears that there's still primarily the NPI number. It appears that she's still being listed as a naturopath.
Okay.
I'm here too.
Sarah, I just need a real brief statement because we're trying to wrap this meeting.
Yeah, oh, you're good. So
we need you to take down any NPIs, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, so this is what they said. Even if I delete it out and deactivate it, it's what it's falling under. So no matter what I do, it's even deactivated, it'll still have that title. So I just need to know what to do about that. I don't know what to do. We've sent in the paperwork for deactivation, but that'll still show the Sarah Martin LMT, naturopath, which we didn't do. That's what the company did, because that's where it falls under. But my NPI is only for massage, nothing else. The number itself and everything in it is only for massage.
You have a current website?
We have everything down.
Okay, so do you have a current, if someone wanted a massage?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So then I think probably the only way that that's going to work is if you put on your website, very on the front page, I am not a physician, I am blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, we have that we are not medical physicians or anything like that is what it does say, yes.
To get that NPI change, that's going to be quite a chore. But
they said with the NPI number that even with it deactivated, it's always going to show that because that's how it was entered in their system by the person who set it up. It wasn't set up by us. It was set up like we submitted our paperwork and then they put it together. So all they can do is deactivate, but it'll always show, but it'll show deactivated. But they said my NPI number itself has got nothing to do with naturopath. When you click on it, it only shows everything for massage. There's nothing for naturopath. The reason they said it was put in by the person was because it falls under that bracket where massage goes. It falls under the naturopath bracket.
Okay.
So whoever did it created this big mess, and I don't know how to fix it. And even the people working on it, the screenshot I sent in, they said the same thing. It's always going to be listed. It'll just show deactivated, but my number itself isn't tied to anything but that.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chairman, this might be more of an us issue than her. I think that she's probably satisfied what we, maybe the board, maybe we can have Gail send a letter, you know, and telling them that, because they have a misunderstanding of, you know, the naturopath or whatever, and tell them that it needs to be its own separate category because it's creating, you know, problems under the law or something. You know, I don't know, we can discuss that later, but, you know.
So, Dr. Campbell, would you be satisfied with then just a motion that the executive director of the board send, because NCI is obviously a federal, you know, agency, that she is not a naturopathic physician?
Well, it might be something they have to do in their administrative workings to change a few things. That, you know, we can maybe just write a nice letter bringing it to their attention saying, hey, this is creating an issue that's in conflict with the law. But as far as, you know, our respondent today, I think that, you know, we can, if it's okay, unless I may have missed something, if there's something else we need to focus our attention on this, if other than that, she's satisfied everything we told her to do, then I'd like to make a motion that that the case be dismissed. And then if we can, I don't know if we need to make a separate proposal for another, you know, put it on the agenda specific to writing the letter, or if we can, out of this case, request that the director write that letter to NCI, bringing their attention to the matter and requesting that their IT staff engage in changing and updating the system based on this error that we ran into in Arizona, and then we'll be good to go.
Any other board members have any other thoughts? I think what Dr. Campbell's saying makes logical sense.
And Mr. Chair, members, I think, you know, if we wanted to make this into a motion, we could say, you know, make a motion to, this is Justin, by the way, I'm just proposing possible language. You can make a motion to dismiss this case as regards respondent, as she is, you know, satisfied with what the board asked her to do, and also direct Gail to draft a letter to MPI notifying them of the potential issue of listing people under naturopath, and that letter could be presented to the board at next month's meeting, and the board could decide at that time whether it wanted to make any amendments or anything like that.
So moved on my part. Unless you want me to actually say those things out loud.
Yeah, make it easy for
you. I guess it's fine this time.
Yeah, there's no sweat. I accepted that with the Campbell motion.
Okay. So can we get roll call, please?
Yes, Dr. Sadlick.
Aye.
Dr. Popio?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spratt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
All righty. We need to put the pedal down. So let's go ahead and hit number 6 really quick. Review consideration of possible action regarding medical assistant rule.
And Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, I sent out some proposed changes to the medical assistant rules. This is being drafted based on a recommendation from the Sunset Review. So hopefully you all got that. You're able to review it. What's in blue and underlined and capitalized is the changes. Anything with a strike through is being taken out. Did anybody have any questions? Did anybody want any changes?
Everybody good? Okay.
Yep.
All right. So let us move on then.
I need a formal vote on approval, please.
All right, so go ahead, Gail. Aye.
Aye.
Oh, we need a motion.
Motion.
Oh, sorry. Motion and a second to approve the draft medical assistant rules.
I'll make the motion to approve draft medical assistant rules.
Okay.
Second, move it.
Okay. Roll call, please. Dr. Sadlick.
Aye.
Dr. Popio.
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts.
Aye.
Ms. Gallen.
Aye.
Dr. Campbell. Dr. Campbell.
Aye.
Oh, did he say hi? Dr. Spratt.
Aye.
Dr. Rubin. Dr. Rubin?
Well, I'm thinking about my answer.
Okay. Motion carries.
Tell me it's been a long day without telling me.
Okay, one more thing. Executive director's report. Did anybody have any questions on the report?
Future agenda. Anybody have anything they want on the agenda for next time?
Oh, what happened to that position regarding about minor surgery? Did we get from the exam?
I believe that's going to be on next month.
Next month?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's 6 months. Did that definition?
Dr. Sadlick, Board Member Simpson Barron, if you'd like me to give a brief report.
Sure. Thanks, Barron.
Thanks. It'll be very brief. Our board is looking at what we think is a final draft at their meeting next Monday. We're going to provide some additional time for them to review it. So I suspect it's going to be at your December meeting when we provide or potentially provide a recommendation.
Okay. Great. Thanks for continuing work.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Anyone have any other future agenda items they want? Board members, no. Next, we're going to roll quickly through call to the public. Okay. That's done. And then adjournment, unless anyone else has anything else to add.
Just that person that moves to adjourn.
So it's 4:05 p.m. And I appreciate everyone hanging in there. So we are officially adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.